Welcome to the Pursuit of Bliss podcast. My name is Kristen. I'm a self-professed health, spirituality, and mindset junkie. You know that blissful happiness you feel when you're just at peace with yourself, living fully in the present moment? That's the feeling I believe we are all in the pursuit of. And I want to help you get one step closer by up-leveling your health, mindset, and love for yourself. Because that lasting and blissful happiness can only be found and created within. So get ready for all things mindset, holistic health, and spirituality. I hope this serves you. Hello, everyone. If you are listening to this right now, I am so excited that you're here because this episode is definitely one for the books. I had a conversation with someone who I look up to so much. His name is Andre Arellano. He's a life coach with an emphasis on self-development, human optimization, and spirituality. And not only is he such an incredible and inspirational leader and someone that I really look up to, but he's a really great role model of vulnerability and spirituality in a male figure. And he's had such a transformational life. In this episode, we talked a lot about how he went from absolute rock bottom, literally in a jail cell, to where he is now as this spiritual leader and life coach. So listen until the end to learn about his morning ritual secrets, how he sets up his day for success and optimization, the five things he says everyone needs to be doing on a daily basis, and the practice that brought him out of his depression and helped him to realize his calling, allowed him to find inner peace, and so much more. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. I'm so excited to introduce you guys to one of my good friends and someone that I really, really look up to. His name is Andre Arellano, and he's a really incredible life coach and someone who's been a huge motivation and inspiration to me in my life. So welcome and thank you so much for joining me today, Andre. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Of course. And I'd love to just kind of go straight into it. So first, I would love for you to tell us a little bit about your background, how you got to where you are, and what it is that you do.
Totally. So I had a great upbringing. I'm first generation. My parents came here from Mexico, and they really wanted to give to me what they didn't have. So I grew up with a very loving family. They give me everything right. They gave me so much though that like they would give me like food, and I was like really into eating just junk food, and I ended up getting really chunky at a young age. And for most of my childhood I was chunky, and then up until high school, you know, once the hormones started kicking in, I'm like, you know what, I got to do something about this. And I started dieting and I lost weight and started getting attention from girls. Mm-hmm. And that really like motivated me to want to do more. But then I was doing it for the wrong reasons. And I started partying, started doing drugs. And I was just doing it to fit in and try to be cool, because like most of my life I was made fun of for being chunky. And in high school it was all about partying and, you know, just being a product of my environment. And it wasn't until I got into a bar fight that I landed in jail, and it was the lowest point of my life. Like, wow. I had hit rock bottom. Mm-hmm. You know, calling my mom from the jail cell was like the worst feeling ever. Mm-hmm. And from that point on, I told myself that I was gonna do something about it. Like I'm tired of like living this way. Like, no more like stealing and, you know, partying and all this stuff. And funny enough, like a week or 2 weeks later, the book The Secret fell into my lap. You know,
Yeah, that's such a
the
good
law of
one.
attraction. Yeah, that was like my introduction to like the, you know, the self-help spiritual
Yeah,
book.
and when you found that, like, were you really open to it? It
Yeah, I was. 'Cause it started teaching me about the power of thought. And I remember going to school and just like driving to school and thinking like I started being more appreciative of nature, and I had never done that before. And it just made me really aware of the way my mind works. So I started diving deeper into that, and that was my introduction to like self-improvement, self-help, and like the spiritual world.
And so, how did you go from your complete rock bottom, being in this jail cell, to where you are now, this like incredibly inspirational, motivational leader? And how did you kind of close that gap?
Yeah, so after I hit rock bottom, I started reading, you know, these self-help books. I also told myself like I'm gonna go hard in the paint with school. So, you know, I started really focusing on getting good grades so I could transfer to a good university. And I ended up in Santa Barbara where I met you. And there I found my passion for meditation. I was part of a program where the psychology department were studying the effects that mindfulness had on the brain. So for 6 weeks, researchers took MRI scans and really were seeing what meditation was doing to the brain, what yoga, what leadership workshops had on the brain. So all these like positive reinforcements, what did it do to the brain? And that's where an idea sparked in my brain, like, oh, this is something that I can see myself doing. But then I stopped myself because it was already my last year in college, and I majored in geography and anthropology. And I thought I had to major in psychology to do anything like that. So I continued with my studies, graduated with my bachelor's, and then I ended up getting my dream job, quote unquote, to work at a high-tech company. But once I started working there, I realized that I didn't want to work for somebody else. You know, like that wasn't for me. And I didn't know what that was gonna be. Like I had no idea. But I promised myself that I was gonna figure it out. So I moved back home and I started teaching myself graphic and web design, which was exciting for me at the time. However, I was doing it because I wanted to make money and not for the love of it. So I actually fell into depression. And during that time, I really was doing the inner work, meaning like I was doing self-inquiry, really getting clear as to who I am and what I'm here to do. And I asked myself if I could do anything for the rest of my life, what would that be? And it wasn't designing. And at this time, I was also being introduced to the coaching world. And I thought to myself, I could see myself doing this, but who am I to be a coach? Like, if I want to be a coach, then I have to like build my design business to generate over like six figures. Like, I was just making up a number. And I was just keeping myself in that state of mind. I was in victimhood. That's what depression is. It's when you're blaming everybody else and you're thinking like, why is this happening to me?
100%. And I want to stop you for one second because there was just so much there that I want to dive into. So you said, so when you were in that state of feeling depressed and not really knowing where you want to go with your life. And you said you did a lot of self-inquiry. And so what did that look like? And how can someone who's listening, who's maybe in that same position where they're feeling depressed and they don't feel like, you know, they're following their purpose that they're calling. So what does that inner work look like? And what are steps that you took that helped you to get out of that place?
Yeah, great question. So I would first advise people to get really clear as to who you are. Like, bust out your journal, or better yet, video record yourself, like actually see yourself, and ask yourself, okay, who am I? And then just whatever comes out, let it out, you know, document it. And then ask yourself, what am I here to do? Mm-hmm. And the question that really hit home for me was, if I could do anything for the rest of my life and money wasn't an issue, what would that be? And with that question, I was like, oh, okay, like, yeah, I like designing, but this is not my calling. For me, it was helping people be the best version of themselves. I'm very passionate about personal development, human optimization, and spirituality. And the most aligned expression for me is to be a coach, because I get to be fully myself and I get to help teach others what I'm passionate about. So, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I love that. So I love how you got so clear about what it is that you want to do. And I guess getting the idea of money out of the way and really thinking, you know, where can I add value? How can I help? What is it that I would love to do? And then, but I know that you mentioned before, you said you had those limiting beliefs of, you know, who am I to do this? And so once you do get really clear on, you know, what it is that you would love to do, or what it is, if, you know, if you could do something for the rest of your life, what it would be, and you know what that is, how do you get past that huge fear that, I know I've struggled with this, I'm sure a lot of people listening struggle with this. How do you move past that overwhelming doubt of, I'm not good enough, there's so many people who are better at this than me, like, who am I to help people?
Yeah. So that looks like putting yourself in that feeling of fear. Like, what holds most of us back is fear. And for me, it was the fear of judgment and the fear of abandonment. Because, you know, I'm a first generation college graduate. I had worked at my dream job, and I moved back home to try to build this design business, and it's not working out. So I was really making, and these were all stories that I was making up. You know, I was fearing that my friends were going to judge me, my ex coworkers were going to judge me, my family was going to judge me. But really, I have the most loving family, the most amazing friends, supportive friends. Like, they weren't going to do that. It was all self-made. And it wasn't until I actually put myself through that, and that looked like working with the coach. I was part of a mastermind, and it was a 6-month program. And part of that program was a 4-day retreat. And during that retreat, my coach asked me, Andre, what's holding you back from your truth? And it was all that I just said. It was a fear of being judged. And this looked like me expressing my emotions in front of 12 other people. So it was like I was being judged, like I was putting myself in the actual situation. And Kristen, I had never cried like that in my adult life. Wow. I really haven't expressed my emotions like that, because as a man, especially being raised in a Latino household, like we're not taught how to be expressive with our emotions, you know. Like, my dad never taught me that, and his dad never taught him that. So I thought crying was actually a bad thing. So I had all this built up emotion, and I never really let it out. And it was actually feeling those fears, like really feeling them, that I was able to transmute it and heal myself from this depression. And also, I was confident in who I was, who I am, and what I'm here to do. Because once those fears were shed away, I was like, okay, like, I can do whatever I want now. Like, I'm so free. Like, I life is abundant. Like, I could do whatever I want. And it was really after that that I decided that I wanted to do this for a living, that I wanted to help others heal themselves and be the best version of themselves and understand that life is amazing, that you don't have to suffer. Like, you can truly enjoy the gifts that this life has to offer.
That's such a, I love that, what you said about how, what is it that's blocking your truth? Because that is such a powerful question. And I know that's something that's come up for me in the past year, that I had to ask myself and realize all of the fears I had that were blocking. And I know so much can come up. So what I kind of heard that you were saying is, what you really have to do is to face those fears head on. So how were you able to do that? So where did you find that courage to become so emotionally vulnerable in front of so many people and get past that fear of judgment from family and friends and the stereotype of, you know, men as being so strong and macho and not crying or having those emotions? Like, how did you find that inner courage to move past that?
Yeah, so the courage, that's feeling the fear and doing it anyway. And through challenging myself to put myself in situations that I'm uncomfortable, that's how, like, my courage muscle got exercised. But to fully have the courage to, you know, be open and vulnerable, first of all, you have to be with people who really care about you and are on the same wavelength as you. Like, this was with a group of people who we were all there with the same intention. We were there to, you know, improve ourselves. We were there to transform ourselves and to heal ourselves. So really being with a group of people who have the best intentions for you is crucial. If you do want to express yourself, you just don't want to be with somebody who's like not going to have your back. So that was very important for me. Like, I felt comfortable being with them. Mm-hmm. And by doing the inner work, which I talked a little bit about earlier, that really helped me become open and be more vulnerable. And the inner work is really meditating and asking yourself radical, honest questions.
Mm. Yeah. If you could go a little bit deeper into, I want to touch on meditation because I know that's really, really huge and central to your life. And I do think that that's a really important part of this entire process of moving past your fears and becoming the person you want to be. So how did you get into meditation? I know for some people it's such a foreign concept and it's scary for a lot of people. So how did you get into it? And do you have any advice as to, if you're looking to start a meditation practice, how can you ease your way into that?
Yeah, so my meditation practice started the summer before I transferred to college. I was interning on an island off the coast of Seattle, and I really had a lot of time to myself, and I wanted to dive deeper into spirituality, and I kept seeing, like, talks about meditation, and then I came across the book The Power of Now, and that really opened up my view to this world of meditation. And I started meditating on my own, and to be honest, I would just fall asleep
I've been
in the beginning.
there.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, at least I got good quality rest. But it wasn't until a year later, after like I started dabbling in meditation, where I joined my psychology department's program, and they formally taught me how to meditate. And you know, I used to think meditation was about not thinking, and it's actually the opposite of that. Like, your mind never stops thinking. It's just about being the observer of the thoughts. It's being aware of how your mind processes thoughts. So meditation is about being the observer of the thoughts. Meditation is not about not thinking, and that's where I got really frustrated in the beginning. Like, when I would, you know, sit down, close my eyes, I would start thinking naturally, and I would start judging myself, like, why can't I quiet myself? And, you know, it wasn't until I was formally taught how to meditate where I actually realized that it's not about not thinking. It's about becoming aware of the thoughts. And really, there's a lot of definitions on mindfulness meditation, but what everybody agreed on was that it's two things. It's being fully present in the moment without judging it. So after knowing that, it was much easier for me to drop into this meditative state. So when I would drop into meditation and close my eyes and those thoughts would arise, I would, once I realized that I was thinking about it, then I would just refocus my awareness to my breath. You know, with meditation, the best thing you could do is to anchor yourself to the present moment by focusing on something. So I always recommend people to focus their energy on the breath. It's the easiest thing. But you could also focus on sounds. You could be listening to a song, listening to instrumentals. You could be out in nature, in the beach, on a hike, or you could also do mindful eating. There was an exercise where they had us eating a tangerine for like 5 minutes. And best believe that was the best tangerine I've ever had in my life.
So you need to explain more about that. I'm intrigued. What is mindful eating?
Yeah, so what they had us do, I still remember this, it was so good. They all gave us, in the program, they give us a tangerine, and they're like, okay, for the next 5 minutes, you're really going to slow down how you peel the tangerine. So you're going to notice the juices like squirting out. Be very cognizant of that and just take your time. The slower, the better. And fully be aware of what's going on. Notice like the crevices on the orange peel. Notice the pulp. Really take it all in. And once we peeled it off, we then would slowly take a little piece of the tangerine and put it in our mouth and like let it sit there for a few moments and really savor the flavor. And then we were like, slowly chew on it and just like take it all in. My mouth is salivating right now.
Me too.
And it's really about noticing the sensations that arise from eating it, because most of us eat our food super fast, or we're eating it while doing something else, whether watching Netflix, YouTube, with our headphones on, talking to people. And, you know, if you could really slow down your eating, that's going to do wonders for you. I took this workshop where this this what would you call him? He's like a nutritional expert, and he was talking about how if you really slow down and chew your food, that's going to alleviate most of your gastrointestinal problems. Because when you chew your food, the mouth is sending a signal to the brain like, hey, we're being fed. But if you like eat super fast, like that your body's isn't properly processing that data. So that was a huge thing for me to learn, that to slow down, because I was actually proud of myself for eating fast. Like I would be eating with family and friends, and I would be the first one to be done eating. And I realized, okay, this is not healthy for me to be doing. So that exercise taught me to slow down and really to enjoy the food.
That is 100% me. I need to practice mindful eating and slowing down because I'm just like you. I'm always the first one finished. But I definitely need to add that practice into my lifestyle.
And you make really yummy food, so like you really get to, you can really enjoy that food by mindfully eating.
Right. Definitely. I really also want to go a little bit into the topic of body optimization. Because I know that's something that you're really passionate about. So, first, can you just kind of explain what is that, what does body optimization mean?
Yeah, so I like to call it human optimization, where you're improving your physical body and your mind through nutrition, through exercises, through practices, rituals, in order to fully show up in life. So constantly improving ourselves, you know, we were given this vessel, and it only makes sense to feed it the right foods, to get the right amount of rest, in order to be the best version of ourselves.
And what would you suggest to people who are wanting to optimize their nutrition or their health or their well-being or whatever it might be? So, what would you say are like the top actionable steps that someone could take to move forward towards being that healthier, higher version of themselves or optimizing their body?
Yeah, so with nutrition, there's no one size fits all. I tried everything, but from here on out, like I know our bodies are all different. So I tell people to try what works best for them. You know, there's these all these diets, and you know, we're being marketed like, hey, look at this new diet. Like this is gonna help you lose weight. And really, I believe in a well-balanced diet. So like eating a little bit of everything that's healthy, and from time to time, like enjoying ourselves, like eating the foods that are not so healthy, but you know, makes it make us feel really good. Like that's good to have as well. But also eating the foods that have a high micronutrient profile. So veggies, fruits, supplements that we can get from foods, and there's so much about that. I know there's this book that really inspired me about human optimization. It's called Own the Day by Aubrey Marcus, and he really goes in depth about the things you could do on a daily basis and like what hour of the day. So one actionable step I could give right now is when you wake up in the morning, drink a glass of water. And if you, bonus points if you put Himalayan pink salt in it, because our body loses a pound of water weight. Just, but it loses a pound of water weight when we're sleeping just by breathing. So the Himalayan pink salt, what it does is it replenishes all those minerals that have been washed away. And the pink salt has, I believe it has all the minerals that the body needs. So it's really incredible. And even more bonus points if you put lemon, you know, squirt some lemon in there, and also some apple cider vinegar. I know the apple cider vinegar is not the best tasting, but it's really good for you.
It's definitely not the best tasting. I love that idea. I mean, I've always drinking water in the morning, like that's most people know that that's good for you, but I hadn't heard of the Himalayan pink salt, so I really like that. And kind of going off of what you said about first thing in the morning doing that, do you have a morning routine outside of the lemon or Himalayan pink salt water? Do you have a typical routine that you do every morning?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And after I explain the morning routine, I want to give more feedback on like human optimization, because I believe there's five things that we should all do. But with the morning ritual, I wake up before the sun rises, so it's usually like around six in the morning, and I believe we should I believe most of us should be waking up when the sun rises. Like that's what our ancestors were doing, you know, like when the sun is up we were up, and when the sun would go down we would go to sleep. And I feel like that's how the body best functions. When I wake up, brush my teeth, drink the water with the Himalayan pink salt, lemon, apple cider vinegar, and then I meditate. And it usually looks like meditating for about 20 minutes, but I recently have upped it to 30 and even 40 minutes if I could go for that long. And then after that, I do what's called tapping, or also known as emotional freedom technique, which all it is you're tapping specific meridian points throughout your body in order to tap into your subconscious. So the reason why I like meditating in the morning, preferably before the sun rises, is that your brain is naturally at a low frequency. So there's four major brainwave frequencies, and when we're sleeping, we're deep into delta, and when we wake up it's like theta alpha. So when you're in the theta alpha brainwave frequencies, that's the best time to really get into your subconscious, because once we start going and like we start thinking about what we have to do, then we get into the beta wave frequency, which you're fully in your ego, you're fully conscious, and it's more challenging to drop into the subconscious. And the reason why I want to do that is because that's the best time to really prime your mind to become the person that you want to become. So I meditate, I start tapping different parts of my face and my body while telling myself affirmations, or what I like to call identity statements. So choosing statements that represent the type of man that I'm trying to become. So like an example, when I wanted to start waking up early, I would say like, I'm a man who rises with the sun. And I'll just go, you know, throughout my whole body, like tapping myself. But now it looks more like I'm a courageous leader who's committed to evolving and taking consistent and aligned action. So saying it out loud, repeating it while you're tapping the different parts of your body that have these meridian points, is going to get down to your subconscious and really create new neural pathways in the brain to create this identity, this person that you're trying to become. And after I do the tapping, I journal, and the journal that has been very monumental in reminding me of what I'm grateful for, because I never used to journal. Like I, for whatever reason, I never journaled. And when I started journaling, I started noticing the little things in life. Because the first three things that I write down in my journal are what I'm grateful for and why. And the why really like hones it in. And it could be the smallest thing as like the coffee I have or the water I'm drinking or the rain, you know, like it really makes me appreciate life. And it's a great way to start the day.
Yeah, I love that. I always use gratitude in my morning routine as well. I write down three things and why. And I've kind of found that the days that I don't do that and I'm not doing my guided meditation or any kind of meditation in the morning, throughout the day, I'm easier to annoy. I'm like more grouchy when I do get in like a negative emotional space. It takes me longer to get back to that that center, my like feelings of peace. So I do think that is so, so important. And I would love to know, so the tapping, I'm so intrigued by that because I have heard of it, but it's not something currently in my routine. So if someone wanted to learn more about how to do that, is that like a long process to learn? How did you learn to do that?
No, it's not a long process. You could like YouTube it. If I would have known I was going to talk about it, I would have searched for the title, and I could give it to you after this, and you could like link it in the notes or something. But you could just watch a video on it, and it'll go through, like the person will like go through the different parts of your body that have these meridian points. And these are the same points that are used with like acupuncture. So like, these points have been known for like thousands of years. And really what you're doing is lightly tapping parts of your body. And I coupled it with identity statements, because usually you could do this with like, there's people that are certified in this that teach this. And I've actually gone to a workshop, and I don't know if you've heard of Wanderlust, but they have this like huge facility in Hollywood, and I went to it, and it was like, I want to say like 80 people showed up to this event. And it's like, you know, like Hollywood does it big. Like they're very like, especially this place is like super spiritual, and it's amazing. I loved it, but it was like 80 people. And for 2 hours we were doing this. Like the first hour really looked like getting clear as to what it is that we were going to work on. And the topic for that day was money, like money blocks. So there was questions that were asked, and we had to write it down. And we meditated in the beginning, once again, to like drop us into these lower brainwave frequencies. Because if we're in beta, it's harder to change the mind. So once we meditated, then the instructor was saying statements for us to repeat. And at first I was surprised, because it was actually, we were being told things that that were holding us back, like actually saying like, I'm afraid of money, you know, rather than like saying like, oh, I allow money to rush into my life. So first going through the things that like actually we're afraid of and like what's going on, we did that. And then we did a round of like actually like saying empowering statements. So if somebody does want to learn more about it, like I would suggest YouTubing it. It's pretty simple, but if you want to couple it with the identity statements that I just meant, that I shortly talked about, what I did is I wrote down 50 statements, and it looked like, if you're a female, if you're a woman, mm-hmm. write down I am a woman blank, and write, don't be really specific, don't write like I am a woman who is happy. Like if you want to talk about joy, Let's say I am a woman who I'm a woman who creates joyful experiences in my daily life. You know, something more specific rather than basic. That way you could create these opportunities for yourself. And once you write down 50 statements, narrow them down to like three that you really want to hone in, like what's going on in your life and you really want to improve on. Narrow them down to three and run those statements while you're tapping specific parts of your body.
And why is this identity statement so important? So what is the purpose behind repeating that to ourselves?
Yeah, so, you know, you probably heard of like affirmations, like, you know, I am happy, I am loving, and it's all good and great, but like actually like saying, you know, I am a man who creates opportunities for me to improve my my situation or something like that. If you really get clear on that, you write it down and you're, first of all, you're saying it out loud. Like that's like speaking it into existence.
I love that.
Yeah. And then you're tapping yourself, which is, you know, you're physically touching yourself, which is signaling your body like, hey, we're doing something here, and we're tapping into the subconscious. Also, I would advise to like meditate before, so you could get into this meditative state. So you, so these identity statements can really sink in.
Yeah, I am 100% adding tapping and identity statements to my morning routine. I do the affirmations, like you said, but mine now that you say this, I love the idea of getting really, really specific about who it is or what it is you want to embody. But yeah, thank you for sharing your morning routine. I think that's really valuable. And I would love for you to share more about, you said the five things that you think everyone should be doing.
Oh, right, right. So, these are the essentials that like everybody has to do. So number one is rest, getting good sleep. You know, most of us like are running on like 6 hours or less, and we really need anywhere from 7 to 9 hours, sometimes even 10 if we're really like behind on rest. Because, you know, and you could feel it, like once you start really having like a consistent sleep schedule, like if you get thrown off, you could at least for me, I could notice my energy. Like if I get 8 hours of sleep, like I'm good. So sleep number one. Number two is get some sunlight. So if you work indoors, make sure to like on your break or after work, like walk and get some sun. You know, get 20 minutes of like the sun hitting you. Walking is the best thing you could do. And I know like some of us may not live in Southern California where I'm at. But if you could get sun, like that's the best thing you could do.
Why is sunlight on your list of five things?
Because we need vitamin D. Like there, it might be an epidemic that this country and like the Western countries are lacking vitamin D. I was actually lacking vitamin D. And that's what like woke me up, like, oh wow, like I actually have to get out more. The doctor prescribed me a vitamin D supplement, which I took, but you know, that really woke me up, like, hey, like we're actually not meant to be indoors all day. Like, yeah, we actually need to get out there. So not only is it because you're getting vitamin D, but also like getting outdoors. Like if you can, like get out in nature and like really soak in the sunlight and nature, because something about being on the beach, on a trail, like it relaxes us, you know, instead of being in this like concrete jungle and being in front of a computer, being surrounded by all this gadget, like really get out there and like unplug as often as you can.
Yeah, that makes sense. I know, because so many of us are working 9 to 5 and you get to work and it's dark and then you leave work and it's dark. And so yeah. If you're not making the time, I guess, to get outside, like I know I try to at least take like a 10-minute walk every day if I can in the middle of the day just to be outside. And you have to literally plan that into your day. So I love that that's on your list of 5 things, because I do find that when I get outside in the sun, it's an immediate mood booster for me. And maybe it is the vitamin D factor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And coupled with the sunlight is movement. So like actually moving your body every day. And like I said, if you can, like, walk for 20 minutes, like, we're these bodies were designed to walk, yet we're sitting on a chair for 9 hours a day. Like, we need to be moving our bodies. And the best thing you could do is walk. If you want to add to that, then, you know, you could lift weights, you could do yoga, you could hike, which I do a combination of everything. Like, I just don't lift weights. Like, I really love yoga. And I was telling you before this call that I just signed up for a monthly membership because yoga is so important. Like, not only is it a physical exercise, like, you're getting, you know, your muscles stretched and becoming more flexible. It's also preventing you from getting injured, but also it's this mental and spiritual exercise where if you're doing a balancing pose and you're thinking of what you're going to do tomorrow, you're going to get thrown off. So it's this meditation exercise as well. And it's also a spiritual exercise because you get to connect with your body. You really aren't aware of your body until you get to like a yoga mat and you're like, oh, I didn't know I could move myself like this. Mm-hmm. So, you know, doing different exercises for the body is going to do wonders for you. And then 4 is nutrition. Really, you know, getting a well-balanced diet, like I said before. Eating food sources that have a high micronutrient content, that's going to be really good. Like, it's good to have those macros, like the proteins, carbs, fats, and like, you know, there's people that have different thoughts on that. But if I could advise anything on nutrition, is to get those vitamins and nutrients. And then 5 is water. We have to drink water. And I know some of us may, when we wake up, the first thing we reach for is coffee. But what we really need to be drinking is water first thing in the morning, and also be drinking water throughout the day. I know I like to have like a big jug of water with me so I could like, I drink like anywhere from 90 to 120 ounces of water. You know, you could live without eating for weeks, but you can't live without water, you know. So those are the 5 things that like I recommend everybody should be doing.
Mm-hmm. And I love that because I mean, I feel like most people know that they should be doing these things, but when you look at the daily lives of your average person, especially like in a city where I am in Denver, most people are not, I know I'm not checking off all 5 of these things every day. So I really do, like I'm going to focus on this. I know that I don't get enough water every day, and really focusing on getting different kinds of movement.
Funny thing, I actually had to set a notification on my phone to remind me to drink water in the middle of the day just so I could get it in, you know?
Yeah, no, 100%. And I've noticed I go through phases of drinking a lot of water and then not drinking enough water. And I think a lot of people don't know how good our bodies are meant to feel and what we're supposed to feel like when we are getting all of our nutrients and drinking enough water. And that's one thing, when I'm not drinking enough water, my energy levels are so low. So is such a huge one for me.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
But thanks so much for sharing those. I would love to know, before I let you go, what is, if you could just give one piece of advice to anyone listening, if there's just one change that you think everyone should make, or one thing everyone should add into their daily routine to make the biggest positive effect in their lives, what would that one thing be?
It's to slow down. Like, really dedicate some time for yourself each and every day, just to be alone with your thoughts, because we're always doing something, right? When we wake up to when we go to sleep, some of us wake up to our phones through opening up social media, watching the news, and we go to bed the same way. And we really don't give ourselves time to just be with ourselves. And the best thing that people can do is to incorporate meditation into their life and making it a part of who they are. I know in the beginning, I was doing it here and there, but it wasn't until I told myself, like, hey, meditating is just what I do. This is part of my existence from now on. And that really, like, sunk in with me. And now, like, there isn't really a day that I go without meditating. And like I said before, all you need is a few minutes. You know, like, if you can do 3 minutes, do 1 minute. And just focus on your breath. Because once you start meditating, you're going to be reminded of your wholeness. Like, you're going to be reminded, like, you are this, like, divine being. And those attachments that you have are going to fade away. Like, the things that you think you need, quote unquote, they're going to fade away. You're going to get to this place where you're like, oh, like, I have everything I need in this moment right now. And that's a beautiful feeling. And like I said before, meditating is not about not thinking. It's about being fully present with the moment without judging it. So when the thought arises and you notice that, then focus your energy back to your present moment, and you have one. That's the whole point of meditation.
Yeah, you're so right, because I know that used to be me. Like, I would sit there and try to get rid of all of my thoughts and I just thought I was doing it wrong, and I just kind of gave up on it because I was like, I don't know how all of those monks in Thailand do this. Like, I really have no thoughts for hours and hours and hours. But you're so right. It's really just about observing those thoughts and releasing them and going back to your breath. So thank you for bringing that up. And thank you for everything. That was so amazing. I'm going to go make so many changes in my life. I'm going to go look
thank
up the
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. I really, really appreciate it. And so how can anyone who's listening now, how can they find you and your services?
Yeah, they can find me on Instagram at Ariano Andre. And that's A-R-E-L-L-A-N-O. Andre, A-N-D-R-E, and on Facebook at Andre Ariano. I'm mostly on Instagram. You can find me, like, there daily, but I also post on my Facebook. But if you want to reach out, send me a DM or a personal message. Add me. Like, I'd love to connect and get to know your audience.
Amazing. Yeah, and I'll definitely put those links in the show notes for all of you guys listening. And if you have any interest in working with him one-on-one, definitely reach out. I worked with him, and he is incredible and so inspiring. But thank you so much for your time, Andre.
Of course. Thank you. I really appreciate it. Mm-hmm.
I hope you guys got as much out of that as I did. Andre is such an incredible human. I have had the absolute pleasure of knowing him for quite a while. It's been quite a few years now, and watching his journey has been so incredibly inspirational and motivational. And I, like I mentioned before, had the absolute pleasure of working one-on-one with him a few months ago. And I can honestly say, looking back, that it is now definitely a turning point in my life. And I know in a few years, I will still look back at that time that I was able to work with him as a time that honestly changed my life. He really helped open me up to some parts of me that I didn't really realize were there or hadn't fully faced. And he is just an amazing teacher, an amazing human. And I highly recommend reaching out to him if you're someone who wants to get in touch with your spirituality, who maybe you just want to get in touch with a higher version of yourself, or there's something that you really want to work towards, but you could use that support or wisdom. Andre is just an absolutely incredible coach. I can't say enough amazing things about him, and I am so thankful to him for the changes that he's made in my own life personally. So like I said, I'm going to put all of his links in the show notes, so definitely reach out to him or at least follow him on Instagram, because he posts some really amazing inspirational content. So hope you all love that and have an absolutely amazing day wherever you are.